this is Charlie Thomas of the Grifters. God bless you and on the street, Mike.
Hi, this is Mary Wilson of the Supremes, and you're listening to my friend Mike Miller on the Harmony Street Show, and we just have so much fun, my baby love, me and Mike Miller. Woo!
Hey, this is Mike Miller from the Harmony Street Show, and I have with me my really good friend and a legend in Southern Florida, and getting to be a legend all over the United States and the world, Mr. Tommy Mara. How you doing, Tommy?
Good, Mikey. How you doing?
I'm doing great. You know, you actually were born in Brooklyn like so many talented people.
A lot of good ones came out of Brooklyn.
Oh, absolutely. Everyone that lives in Southern Florida knows Tommy Mara and his vocal range, and pretty much, you know, we've been on stage many, many times together, and I know that my feeling is that everything Tommy touches turns to gold. You just have that knack for drawing people in and getting involved with shows that are always successful. When did you get started, and how did you know that you could get up in front of people and carry a tune?
You never, you know, I mean, you're an entertainer, you never know. It's, I started 9 years old and,
wow.
Kept moving on from there, you know, and, one day I just, you know, I was a drummer and I came from behind the drums and pulled the microphone out and said, I'm tired of carrying all these drums and setting them up. It's too much work. It's a lot easier just to be a singer.
Well, you know, what's really funny too is that most drummers that I know, not only being like the flakiest ones in the group, but most of them are not vocalists. You know, it's very rare that you find a drummer that's a vocalist, because that point of reference is all about the rhythm, and rather than, you know, finding the chord on the guitar or the piano, which is, you know, like really interesting. It's an amazing thing. Believe it or not, you know, I was a dean in a junior high school in the Bronx at Castle Hill for 30 years. One of my kids was Stevie Jordan, the drummer, and his mother, Gloria, used to come in, and I used to take his drumsticks away in the lunchroom, because he used to drum on everything. You know, he's doing paradiddles on his desk. The mother would come in and she would say to me, you're ruining my son's career. You take away his drumsticks like every week. And she said, he's going to be a famous drummer someday. And there you go. You know, the next thing I did was fast forward 25 years and he's on the Letterman show and he's playing with the E Street Band. So, you know, drummers. So, you moved to Southern Florida at what point?
I moved in 1987. I moved over to Spring Hill, Florida.
You're in that area now as well, I would imagine.
I'm still in the same area.
Wow.
Just, you know, started branching off. You know, I played the Tampa Bay area for quite a long time. And then started doing a Dream Team of Doo-Wop, which is one of my, my names that I... trademark, Dream Team of Doo-Wop, Dream Team of Doo-Wop, rock and roll, you know, and just started getting into the doo-wop thing. You know, I was doing really top 40 when I first came down here.
Right. Because, you know, people say sometimes, well, you know, Tommy Mara, you know, he's a few years younger than the guys that are in, you know, that are 71 and 72 years old. And I come from the next genre because I'm 65 now. And I say to myself, it's really funny because the music was kind of passed down from decade to decade, and you know as well as I do, you either feel it or you don't, because singing doo-wop, you either have it there or you don't. Some guys have fabulous voices, but they just can't sing that particular music.
It's an amazing thing, you know, once you start singing that, you start getting in with a couple of guys, and you get with a couple of guys who know what they're doing, and that bell starts ringing.
Right, oh yeah.
What happens? That bell goes off, and all of a sudden you know. It's a gelling.
I know, because, you know, how many times have you had four guys that are great singers in a room, and you get together and it just doesn't blend because it just doesn't blend. I mean, you know, and
just because they can't sing background.
Right. Okay. No.
That'd be nice.
Well, I understand that too, but you know what's really funny too is, like, in the old days, when I had an a cappella group called the Islanders, we were on the Best of a cappella with Relic Records, and we were, you know, like 17, 18 years old. We'd get in the car and go to Jones Beach, and we'd never make it to the sand because, you know, they would stop us. We'd be in the tunnel. We'd be, you know, and they do requests, and you just chime off and you sing it. It was like, you know, then you get with other groups and say, we're not doing that tune until we've rehearsed it for 8 months. So it's funny, you know, but Let's come full circle and talk about the Legends. I mean, I've been watching the Legends through their metamorphosis, you know, for many, many years, and they are never better than they are right now. Paulette and I were at the Sunrise Theater in Fort Pierce, and, you know, it's just like silk. It just rolls off, and whether you guys are doing a 20-minute show or an hour show, it's all there.
Well, we try, and then, you know, we sing together so much now. We do so many shows that
right.
Just we say, hey, listen, let's do Wonder Why. Let's do any song. And we just start singing, and it's done.
Right.
The other day, during that show backstage, we did Just Two Kinds of People. We finished it. So now the next show, we can do Just Two Kinds of People.
Right. No, I understand. People don't realize it when you're sitting in the back in the dressing room. You're staring at the wall, and you know, you got nervous energy. You're ready to go on, and if you just start singing, you know, things grow out of that. I remember Harmony Street did so many tunes with our very good friend Johnny Maestro. And Harmony Street, Johnny Maestro was a good blend because we had three ladies in the group in Harmony Street, and we didn't knock into each other. And for years we did that. And I remember Johnny used to pace before every show. He would like pace like nervously. And I would say, you know, after all these years, John, you know, you would think that you would just sit and relax and whatever. He said he had this nervous energy before he went out every time. The other great thing about John was, he was the only one I know that could eat a full bowl of pasta and then jump out on stage. I would say, John, how can you eat like that before you go on? And he would say, it coats the throat.
That's always coating the throat.
Yeah. You know, losing Johnny was very, very tough. And I know how close you were to John. I mean, you guys were like best friends. You know, that was an amazing thing.
I learned a lot from Johnny. And Johnny actually learned a lot from me.
No, I can imagine. Well, you know, John was a humble guy, and you know, people used to say sometimes, oh, you know, Johnny, he's standoffish, but he really wasn't standoffish. He was just like shy and laid back. And you know, if you could say it in 15 words, John could say it in 3 words.
Yeah, he was to himself, but he wasn't a snob or nothing. He's heard it all in years he's been singing. You know, he's heard it all, so. What is he going to hear? Just another story.
No, I know. Well, you know,
it was.
We used to have Ellen and our group used to bake a lot. And every time we used to do a show with them, she would bake a whiskey cake or this and that. She made a cheesecake. So we go on, we do an hour and 20 minutes, and then we get backstage, and the whole cheesecake is gone. And Freddie and John and Les have cheesecake all over their mouths. And they said, I hope you don't mind, we ate the whole cake. So I said, but John, you know, dairy, if you eat dairy before you go out and sing, I said, you know, it's not the greatest thing in the world. He says, yeah, coach the throat. They go out, they totally crashed and burned. All their throats were closed up. They couldn't sing. I said, see? That's what happened.
Hey, dairy. No dairy 4 hours.
No, I know.
John and I did a lot of stuff. I actually have 4 albums that'll be coming out real soon.
Wow.
Waiting for the covers to be done. Just, you know, Johnny, we did a Christmas album together.
Wow.
Did a duet album together. We did some different kinds of tunes that people would never expect Johnny to do. We did one of those together.
Wow.
And, so they'll be out soon. I didn't want to put them out like, you know, everybody else. They all
right.
On the bandwagon after Johnny passed.
I hear you.
Started releasing now, you know, they're this and they're that, and I just couldn't do it.
My feeling is that's what you should do. You should take your time and just pace it, you know, and do it when the time is right. That's really good thinking. And I had no idea, but I know you guys spent an awful lot of time in the studio together creating. And I know that I know John was very meticulous in the studio, because when you listen to anything that the Bridge has done, there are no mistakes. Everything, every lick and every note is tasteful. You know what I'm saying? It's very, very well produced.
Yeah, he was one of a kind.
Yeah. But getting back to Tommy Maris, so, you know, you had your history. on.
A lot of guys, they say, you know, I'm a young guy and you got to earn your bones and you got to.
Right.
I'm singing 46 years.
That's right. No, I understand that. Well,
people,
you know,
they say you earn your bones. Well, what kind of bones am I going to earn? You see the size of me? You got to put a lot of bones in there to hold me up.
I remember the first time that I ever stood on a stage with you, it was probably about 10, 12 years ago. I think it was with the Saints, and we were doing Radio Lollipop in Miami, and you got on stage. Remember that? And you said, "Where's my sandwich?" and 1,000 people cracked up. I mean, you know,
gotta have a little humor with it too. Because
no, it works.
With humor, you gotta have fun.
Well, you know, Paulette and I saw you on PBS the other night, and I'm sure that replays over and over. You know, that you people watch you, and you're a warm, wonderful person when you come off. It's like, you know, it's just like, how you doing? It's me, Tommy, which you know, is all part of the charm. Look, we were there at the sunrise, and when you walk, people love you, Tommy. People love you wherever you go, and it's a great thing, you know.
Oh, thank you, Mike. I appreciate that. No. Coming from you, that's a compliment. Thank you so much.
No, of course, it's a fabulous thing. And, you know, I'll tell you, too, that's why I always want to come out to hear the legends as much as I can. You know, it's funny because people say, you and Paulette, it's like you never come to hear us. We don't go out. I mean, you know, I stopped singing when Paulette and I got married, and, you know, she's really upgraded my life, you know, to the 10 power. And
you can say that again.
You know, I mean, it's like, you know, I forgot how to live. You know, when I moved to Florida, I had lost my mother, my brother, and my father. Within 13 months, I was going through a divorce. I quit Harmony Street. I quit my dean's job, you know, in New York. And I just came down to Florida and I went, oh my goodness, what can I do now? I needed to change. So, you know, Frankie Avino called me up and says, you got to sing with us. I said, I don't want to be the 27th borough. And then George called me up and said, you want to come with the Mystics group at that time? So I said, okay, you know, and I did that for, you know, 10, 12 years. But the point was, it was time to stop when I got married because, you know, here I am calling from Boston and Rhode Island and, you know, Mohegan Sun. And, you know, it wasn't working. So I stopped. And then I got a brainstorm to start the radio show. And the radio show has been very successful. I have thousands of listeners now. And I'm having fun with it, you know. Would I love to get back on stage? Yeah. And I probably will, but you know, it's for now it works. What's in store for the legends coming up, and what's in store for Tommy Mara?
Well, we have a bunch of stuff. I mean, this week, like Wednesday, we're at Pompano Civic, then we got to drive from Pompano to the Villages for two shows.
Right.
And then I think Friday I'm doing the Port St. Lucie Festival.
Right. I know. You know, I noticed something about the festival. They're not doing too much doo-wop this year. They're sticking to basically, you know, the Italian format. You know, Jerry and those guys there, you know, I kind of went to the website and I said, oh, let me see what's doing. And they're sticking pretty much to, they're doing mostly linguine and you know.
Well, what happened was, you know, is that I think they really did the smart thing. They're very smart individuals.
Right.
They blasted their entertainment at the beginning.
Right.
Their Bobby Rydell's, their Frankie Avalon.
Right.
They did their $20,000 acts a night, you know?
Right, right.
And now that they built it up, the people not only come there for the entertainment.
But for the food.
They're coming for the food and the culture.
Oh, yeah.
The thing for them. The culture is the main thing. The Italian festival is all, well, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, Hoboken, Jersey City.
Right.
You know, we've done them all.
Right.
You know, you've done them all. It's just, I don't know, for some reason, the Italian festival is like, I wish they would have an Irish festival. I love Bumby for Cabbage. You never have an Irish guest festival.
No, I understand. You could have Tommy Makem and the Clancy Brothers and, you know, and run
right.
That whole thing, you know. Or you know, or combine them. But, you know, a word about the Italian festivals. I will tell you that, you know, because I've been part of it, you know, for a bunch of years, they just really pull those people in. I mean, you know, you look up and all of a sudden you're staring at 10,000 people and they're all eating, you know, meatball sandwiches and cannolis and, you know, it's great.
Zeppoli, they got a Zeppoli or a sausage and pepper sandwich. They got something.
There was one little stand where the guy was making like seafood fettuccine or seafood, you know, and Paulette and I would always try to find this guy. He was in a different spot every year, you know, but it was great stuff, you know, really great stuff.
And as far as the crest, you know, I'm just trying to keep Johnny's songs alive.
Right. No, I,
nowhere trying to be any competition with my best friend, because there's no competition. No one could sing like him.
No, I understand that. And, you know,
but I can just still keep the music, the sound, the originality of the graphic of the song alive, and let the people just keep it, hearing it. That's all I'm trying to do.
No, I understand that, because, you know, sometimes there's a little buzz, you know, politically about this, that, the other thing. But basically, you know, you do the Crest stuff very well and you have such a great feel for it, because, you know, not everybody can do it the way it's supposed to be done. And it works. And there are so many tunes to choose from. You know, it's all great stuff.
A lot of great tunes. People didn't realize. A lot of people never realized how many Crest tunes there were.
Oh, absolutely.
Realize. I mean, Paper Crown.
Right.
You know, Bessemer Baby.
Right.
So many tunes that people just didn't realize. That was the Crest. That was the Crest season. It's unbelievable. But, you know, I mean, it's like everybody, you know, Bowser. I went through with Bowser with the Truth of Music.
Right.
I'm the legal owner. I'm the trademark owner.
Right.
Purchased it legally. I recorded with two of the originals.
Right.
Johnny Maestro and J.T. Carter.
Right.
The third criteria is abandonment, which by somebody selling me the trademark,
right,
that was abandonment.
I hear you.
You know, it's everything's legal, and I don't have any trouble whatsoever, else I wouldn't be able to play the Pittsburgh Arena or the Izod Center. You know, someone would cease and desist it, but it's a legal action.
No, I understand. And, you know, Terry Stewart from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is a very good friend of mine. When Harmony Street, believe it or not, in 98, we were the entertainment for Bill and Hillary at the White House for the 98 Christmas party, and Fox News followed us in. We did very well for a group that didn't have a hit. We did a lot of good things, but Fox News followed us in Washington and sent the feedback to Connecticut, where Terry Stewart saw it. He lived in Stamford at that time, and we were guests at his New Year's party. So I remained very good friends with him socially for years and years. And, you know, I asked him point blank in an interview that I did with him, and I said, you know what, let's talk about Johnny for a minute. You know, all of his fans are vehement about the fact that he should be in the Hall. And what he said was, people don't know this, but Johnny was nominated. He is nominated. The problem is that the voting committee, which is about 400 people, basically they're rockers, he said, and they don't get to the doo-wop people for a while. Plus, that whole Paul Schaefer little clique, you know, they're very influential, which, not to make a short story long, is one of the reasons that Darlene Love was able to slide in without the Crystals, because she is part of that little Paul Schaefer nucleus where they have about 100 people around that little nucleus that are on the voting committee. He says, and me, as the CEO, I only get one vote. He said, and I voted for John the first year. But he said he will get in, and he is nominated. So, you know, most people don't even know that he's nominated. You know what I'm saying?
He'll get in eventually.
Yeah, and I used to tell John all the time, I said, you're like the Phil Rizzuto of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and they're going to vote you in, like, yeah, all the way at the end. You know? And he used to laugh. But, you know, it should be, and it probably will be. You know what I mean?
Eventually.
So anything very quickly that you want to say to Tommy Mara fans that are listening?
Just thanks for keeping the sound alive, everybody. Keep coming to these concerts, because, you know, we need it. We're losing people every day. So just don't let us down. Just come to the shows. spend a couple of bucks, enjoy yourself, and bring back the memories to yourself.
So, Tommy, it's been great talking to you, man. And, you know, I hope to see you very soon. Stay well, my friend, and keep the music alive.
Thanks, Mike. You too. And send my love to Paulette. I'd rather see her than you, by the way.
I understand. And you know what? I hear that, like, everywhere I go. They say, please don't come unless you bring Paulette. It's really funny.
Nice talking to you, buddy.
Cool, man.
Okay, I hope to see you soon.
Thanks, Tommy.
Bye, Tommy.
Later. Bye. Here they are, Frank Mancuso, Tommy Mara, Tony Pasa, and Steve Horn, the legends of doo-wop.
My heart is tied. Oh, we are in love now.
Hey, this is Mike Miller on the Harmony Street Show, and I have with me my really good friend, Mr. Tony Passa.
Hey.
From the Legends of Doo-Wop and the Fascinators. And let me tell you, Tony, everything you wrote, everything you sang, everything you touched is doo-wop gold. I just want you to know that.
Thank you, Mike. That's kind of you.
It's all good stuff. You know, it's funny. Years ago, I had a friend who was a musicologist, and he probably had in his collection 500,000, 600,000 records, tapes, CDs, whatever. And I used to talk to him, and I'd say, Gary, you know, like, what's your favorite tunes? And he had his own top 10. And it was different than the CBS, you know, Earth Angel, Still of the Night, you know, that kind of thing. And always when I would ask him, Rosemary was like right there in the top three or four. And I would say, the guys that really know the music and are really the aficionados always dug the Fascinators. And I'm not saying that just to soup you up, Tony. Yeah.
Well, no, that's kind of, you know, it's the only feedback we get from things we do.
Yeah, I know, you know, and of course people tell you that over the years, I'm sure, you know, because, you know.
Hey, I'm sure there's people say, hey, boy, I hate that record.
No, I understand. But, you know, hey, look, I do some writing and I've heard some of my tunes back and, you know, it's, you either have it in you or you don't, you know,
uh-huh.
And, you know, like, who do you think you are? How many times have I said to people, hey, who do you think you are?
Yeah, really?
I mean, that's like a hook from heaven.
That's where I got it from.
Well, who do you think you are?
Anyway, you know, to reach way back, you were born where?
Brooklyn, New York.
Almost everybody you ask says, hey, I was born in Brooklyn, you know, because so many great voices came out of Brooklyn. It was almost like in the water.
Oh, yeah. There was like many, many groups when I grew up.
And, of course, you know, every street corner had their group. When did you get up and sing your first note?
Oh, my. It's probably 56.
Wow, unbelievable. And the Fascinators probably came from just a bunch of guys that were, you know, guys that sang near you and around you.
Yeah, but obviously anybody who came from Brooklyn understands that you could go three blocks away and it was a totally different world.
Right.
And so, you know, I knew everybody around. You always had friends all over.
Right.
But basically, your neighborhood was one or two blocks. You know, that was your neighborhood. And the Fascinators actually didn't hang with me initially.
Right.
And the guys in my neighborhood, you know, we sang a little bit, but there was no, you know, great singers and whatnot. And,
right.
In school is where I started to sing.
Cool.
I hung out in Bed-Stuy.
Right.
And that's where I learned how to sing.
Hey, well, I went to LIU, you know, and Ada Junior's, you know, almost every afternoon. So I know that area very well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I, you know, it's where I learned to sing. I didn't sing with white guys.
Right.
Until the Fascinators.
Wow.
So it was kind of, you know, a revelation to me that they could actually sing.
No, I hear you. I hear you. You know, I've had this talk with many other people as far as you could put really four or five good singers in a room, and it doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to be a group and that the harmony is going to blend, because the blend is a whole different story. You know, you have to really breathe together, and you have to listen to each other, you know. A lot of guys, you know, they can sing their notes, but they can't listen to what's going on and plug in and be part of that mix. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, actually, I had kind of retired prior to the Legends.
Right.
And when I was approached to, you know, join, get together with everybody.
Right.
I really had my doubts, because on stage it looks fairly easy, but as you know, it's a lot of work.
And, oh, I know.
It's time consuming and whatnot, and I really didn't want to go through that again.
Well, you know, it's funny, when I came down to Florida, even before I came down to Florida, you know, I was friendly with Frank Mancuso for years because he had Rubber Band on Long Island, and all my top 40 groups, we used to cross paths with him all the time. And, you know, I called Frank, you know, even before I came down. He says, hey, we're putting the Legends together and whatever, whatever. And I says, how does it sound? And he goes, nah, I don't know, you know. And then the next time I spoke to him, he said, yeah, we put a lot of hard work in with the Legends. And believe it or not, the first Legends CD was Magic in a Bottle. And I, you know, I even said, I think I hear a 12-string guitar on there, but I said, I know you guys did a room sound as far as the backgrounds go, because I just hear that. I hear the blend. It was a fabulous CD, every tune.
Yeah, one of the things in singing is that, and it's not a condemnation of anyone, but
right.
Most lead singers can't harmonize.
No, I agree. I know.
They can sing a line
right.
In a harmony chord,
right?
But they really don't hear the harmony, and they're not harmonizing.
I hear you.
But this group, the Legends, everyone harmonized, and we harmonized beautifully.
Yeah.
And I felt it was a lot easier to sing.
Right. Well, they know their stuff, and I know. I mean, look, I started when I was 15. We were with Relic Records years ago, and, you know, people would come up and they do requests sitting at Jones Beach on a blanket, and we'd just chime off and do it. I mean, it was not about, ooh, what's going on. It was like, if you knew the tune, you chimed off and you did it, period.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, with the Legends, everyone's note is in the chord.
Right.
In other words, if you just say any one of them,
right.
You know, hit me a note.
Right.
And they'll, without listening to anybody, hit that note, it
right.
becomes a chord. So all four of us were right in our wheelhouse.
Right.
Whatever we sang was, that was our note.
Well.
You didn't have to find it or search for it or
what. I know. Well, you know, you're talking to a guitar player also. So, you know, and I arranged the harmonies for most of the groups that I was in, you know, not to mention any one of them. But, you know, you'd have somebody say, okay, this is the way we did it on a street corner. Yeah, man, but it's not in the chord. Listen, it's not in the chord. Here's the triad. Boom, boom, boom. Yeah. And, you know, it was like, oh. So, you know, that's just the way it goes. What's your favorite Fascinators tune?
Oh, my.
Tough question.
I never really thought of it.
Yeah.
I never really thought of it. I liked them all that we did.
Yep. Every one of them was a great tune, though. Everyone had great lyrics. Everyone had, you know, I mean, you know, when you strip down those tunes, the big three, you know, every one of them is a hit tune. Every one of them should have been in the top 10.
Well, some of them really were strange. They became the flip side of Rosemary.
Right.
Was Fried Chicken Macaroni.
Right.
That was number one in Worcester, Massachusetts.
Wow. It's just unbelievable. Now I hear you.
Fried chicken macaroni, give me some. Fried chicken macaroni, give me some. Fried chicken macaroni, give me some. How big can you be?
You invited me to dinner just to build up our romance. About the way you're cooking, the way that food our love don't stand a chance.
Fried chicken macaroni, give me some. Fried chicken macaroni, give me some. Fried chicken macaroni, give me some. How big can you be?
You're so tall and skinny, still I'm in love with you. Let me put my arms around you till you weigh 202.
Fried chicken macaroni, give me some. Fried chicken macaroni, give me some. Fried chicken macaroni, give me some. How big can you be?
Someone stole my drumstick when I turned my back. But girl, I hear your teeth quick and your two fat lips go smack.
Fried chicken. Macaroni.
I thought you'd do some loving, but you made me a fool. Cause all you do is eat and eat while I just sit and drool.
Fried chicken macaroni, give me some. Fried chicken macaroni, give me some. Fried chicken macaroni, give me some. How big can you be?
Your mouth is moving like a zombie. You never catch your breath. I better take what I can get for eat yourself to death.
Fried chicken macaroni, give me some. Fried chicken macaroni, give me some. Fried chicken macaroni, give me some. How big can you be?
I had a tune with the Islanders, you know, when we left Relic Records, we were the subsidiary of MGM, and Jay Traynor wrote a tune for us. I was about 17, 18 years old. Called Looking Out My Window. We really never recorded it, but we recorded a couple of tunes, one of them being Where the Lights Are Bright. And that started to catch on in certain areas, and then for some reason it just fizzled, came out the same week as Kind of a Drag. Kind of a Drag went to number one. Our record was picked with a bullet and went, eh. You know, now, years later, the flip side was a tune called Baby Pack On, and that was written by Ray Cerrone of the Bell Notes. And that tune I found on the net, and it's a Northern Soul hit, and the record's worth $175. Go figure. I don't even have one. You know, I got an old copy that's like got a crack in it and a chip, and the label's all.
You mentioned the Bell Notes.
Yeah.
A little interesting story with the Bell Notes.
I haven't seen Ray. I'm trying to find Ray. I don't know where the hell he is because I want to talk to him about that tune.
Well, I don't know if it was Ray or not.
Yeah.
I don't remember his name, but Ellie Greenwich and Jeff Barry had written a song, and I forgot what it was, the raindrops or the teardrops.
Right.
And they said, hey, we're going to do a show, and we need you to help us. So I said, all right. So I became one of the raindrops or whatever it was, and on the show with the Bell Notes, Tony Orlando, a bunch of people were on the show.
Right.
And we went back into the dressing room. And the guy from the Bell Notes said, hey, I forgot his name now, but he asked me my name, and I told him. And he paused for a little bit, and he said, Chapel Bells, Fascinators.
Right.
And I said, wow, how'd you grab that? Because people in those days really didn't know my name. It was the Fascinators.
Well, if they knew you as Tony Passa, you know, Passalacqua is, you know, a little harder on the tongue.
Yeah.
But
I asked
know,
him, I said, well, how did you get that? And he said, I have a photographic memory.
Wow.
That I can, I'm now reading the record label.
Wow.
That was really weird.
Hey, no, that's really, that's, that is amazing, you know. As far as the Legends go, so you join the Legends and you guys worked very hard, you know, to get the sound that you got. And you guys are like, really heroes as far as the Florida audience is concerned. I mean, and you've been to Germany and you've gone around and around. But when you say the Legends of Doo-Wop in Florida and anywhere on the East Coast, you guys are just like doo-wop heroes.
Oh, wow.
I mean, you know the kind of reception that you get.
Oh, yeah. The reception has always been wonderful. I really think it's phenomenal that at the age that we're at now, that the people still appreciate, you know, what we did back then, actually what we're doing now. It's more of a challenge now as you're older, but still.
Oh, I know. And another thing about the Legends is the fact that you guys have so many tunes to choose from, because I know. You know, the show at Fort Pierce, which we're, you know, playing right now on the show, on the Harmony Street show. If you're on with other groups and you have 25 or 30 minutes, while you're getting off, people are still yelling out, hey, but you didn't do this tune. And hey, but you didn't do that tune. Come on back.
Oh, yeah.
You're so
very limited when you're in a show with a lot of acts.
Right.
Because now, because of the theater costs and whatnot, they've kind of brought everybody like to 20 minutes. And so you get out there and you do 20 minutes. And
yeah.
That's it.
Well, you know, I always used to say, you know, if you're doing a show, let's say, up in Rhode Island, so you fly out on a Friday night, you get there and you hang out with the people and you go to sleep, and then in the morning you wake up, you have breakfast, you go to soundcheck, which could take all day. You finally do the show in which you do your five tunes. Then you meet and greet people. It's now 1 o'clock in the morning. You get something to eat. You go to sleep. You wake up in the morning. You eat breakfast. You fly out. You come back. You've now done 3 days in order to do 15 minutes of music.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, you really have to have your heart in it in order to be part of that. Because a lot of guys just can't take the time in between. But you and I know it gives you time to work out other tunes when you're sitting in the dressing room, you know.
Yeah, but a lot of times you really get, as we're older now,
yeah,
take that time to go to sleep.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
But it's stuff like this week, we're doing a show in Pompano.
Right.
Then the next day, we're doing two shows in Ocala.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And now, ordinarily, it wouldn't be that bad, except that the Ocala show, we have to use their band.
Gotcha.
Don't get to bring our band.
Yeah, it's another whole subject. You know, we use their band. It's a crapshoot sometimes.
And we're the only ones on the show, so that means we have 90 minutes.
Yeah, well, you know, and then the other thing is you say, you know, I'd rather cut my pinky off than use tracks. So
we don't use tracks. Never use the track.
Right.
High alive.
Right.
Lives and it's just we just don't do it. Actually, because a lot of our stuff is, you know, off the cuff.
Right.
And so we really, tracks really would limit us.
So you're having a ball, you know, with the Legends, and any chance of getting back into the studio and doing some more recording?
Yeah, we've been trying to.
Yeah, it takes a lot of time.
It's a lot of time is right, and our musical director puts, you know, all our tunes down. So we have stuff, but we just have to get into the studio to do it.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I hear you. Well, Tony, it's been really good talking to you, man, and you know, all the luck in the world to the Legends. You know, Paulette and I. As many times as we can get out to hear you guys, we love to do that because it's always a great show. And we love you guys.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate it.
Be safe and be well.
Thank you, Mike. The same for you, and it's been fun.
Listen, before we continue, this is not blocking your view of me, is it? Alan, that's not funny.
Look at these sinks they got there. It's like sofas. Oh, my goodness.
They are sofas. What the hell's the matter?
Those are the VIP seats.
All right. Back in 1960, I recorded a song with the Imagination. But it's night before I go to bed.
No, I won't be afraid. Wait, well, I got a group. Can I go to Housewives just one more time? And I promise I'll get right out of here. We got the Alices here. Anybody named Alice?
Yeah. There she is.
Man, I've been looking for you for like 25 shows.
Can you see her?
I can't believe it.
Can you see her?
You ever seen a commercial? For great sex, see Alice.
All right.
Well, there she is, ladies and gentlemen.
Snake problem, that's for sure.
Hey, how you doing up there in cheap seats, huh? Get cheap seats early next time!
I gotta tell a sad story. I thought I was laughing too bad. It's a real sad story, but it's true. Here's my story, it's sad but true.
Oh,
You can want the rest of the show. But for now, I'm dedicating this song to my friend, Mr. Johnny Mitro. No one can fill his shoes. And he told me, sing them, make people smile. That's what I'm trying to do. So tonight, this goes out to my friend, which is his birthday every day, Mr. Johnny Mitro. Hope you have a good time.
Let me down some. I'm Shirley Austin Reeves, the original lead singer of the Shirelles, and you're listening to my good friend Mike Miller on the Harmony Street Show.
Hi, Mike. How you doing, baby? Love you, Mike.
Hello, everyone. This is Fred Ferrara, original member from the Brooklyn Bridge and Dell Saturns, and you're listening to our good friend, very good friend, Mike Miller on the Harmony Street Show.
Hey, here's a little treat from days gone by. Here are the Five Sharks. Steve Horn on bass from all those years ago, with Eddie Black and the Five Sharks. Enjoy. This is Mike Miller on the Harmony Street Show.
Boom, 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 boom.
Possibilities.
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 open your eyes and see. It doesn't matter who's waiting for. Could this be me? It's a possibility. It's not incredible for a guy to feel the way I do. It's not impossible for you to feel the same way too. I'll be reliable. I'll never treat you bad. I'll give you loving you never had.
No.
You know I want you right by my side, always eternally. Or maybe someday you'll be my bride, and maybe we'll be free. It's a possibility.
Introduce to you one of my longtime good friends and lead singer of the Imaginations, and now with the legends of doo-wop, Mr. Frank Mancuso. How you doing, Frank?
Hello there. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing like really, really good. We go way, way back, you know, to Long Island.
Sure.
You know, way, way back when we were young kids, and you know, I had so many top 40 groups and played all the clubs, the big ones and the little ones. But I seem to remember a club that we used to do off the beaten track. It was called Our Room in Wantagh.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Wow, you just brought back a memory. I forgot all about that.
Yeah, man. And, you know, the thing that I remembered the most about Frank is that when we went to see you guys, and, of course, the band was called Rubber Band, which was a great name.
Yeah.
You know. The one thing that you had was that you had this uncanny ability to remember everybody's name, because I remember you in between songs going, oh, there's Sonny out there, and there's Johnny, you know, how you doing, Johnny, you know, and there's Marie, and there's, you know, and, you know, you were a great front guy because, you know, you were really into the people as well as having a really good group. I remember that.
Right. Well, don't ask me to do that now. You know, I've aged a little.
Yeah, I know. So,
We had some loyal fans back then for the Rubber Band.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Are you kidding me?
Nice group.
those days in Long Island when you talked about all those clubs, and I sat one time in a dressing room with Johnny Maestro one time. We ran every club. We did every town from my house to St. James Infirmary to Lakeville Manor to, I mean, we just ran every club. And finally looked at me, he says, "You're making my brain tired, man. I got to sit down." Because if you remember the way I do, those were the greatest times, the greatest people, and the greatest clubs.
A lot of fun. The music was very active.
Yeah.
You know,
and that,
we did a lot of clubs just like everybody else. We used to run it to Johnny a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you remember a guy by the name of John Apostle out on the island?
Yes. That's
big tall guy.
One you just brought back in memory.
Yeah.
Wow.
You
forget these as you go along.
Yeah, he sang a little bit with the Capris. He sang for a little while. And then there was Franklin Wayne Agency, if you remember.
I don't remember them as much. You know.
Yeah, Creative Talent. And I mean, there were so many. How about Norby Walters and those guys?
Yeah.
You know.
Sure, I remember all those people, yeah.
You know,
there's a lot of groups on every street corner in Brooklyn.
Right.
I started with some guys from high school.
Right.
And we started singing there. And then my parents did a very terrible thing to my life. They moved out to Long Island. Oh, it tore me apart.
In what year? Because it happened.
1959.
No, but I mean, you know, what grade were you in when they tore your heart out?
Oh, man, I was, I was a sophomore, junior, just before a senior. Yeah.
See, that happened to me, too. I was living in Armonk, New York, and my parents moved to Long Island. And I went to Pleasantville High School for 2 years, and I went in as a junior. And, you know, all of my friends and my power base and my support base was gone, and I was new kid. And so I did what every respectable guy who was a new face did. I started a band.
Yeah, well, I went around school because I had to go my last year in school, which was Wellington C. Mentham High School, and I had to find guys who could sing.
Right.
And it was a little tougher out in Long Island. They didn't have one on every street corner.
Right.
But I did. I finally hooked up with some guys from Wantagh.
Right.
In a candy store, and then we started the Imaginations.
Wow. And, of course, everybody knows the Imaginations because, you know, they had a couple of hits under their belt. And so tell me more about how the Imaginations got off the ground.
Actually, I worked. I had to work. I couldn't do just music. And I was working. The guy I took his place became a record distributor, and he sold records in Sam Goody Record Store.
Oh, wow.
So I knew him, and as the group was progressing, I told him I had a group. He said he wanted to hear us. He heard us. He liked us. He says, you know, I know a record distributor that might be interested in managing, and that was a Sam Meltzer. So Sam Meltzer and Tony Serafino was the guy I knew, started managing us, and they got us on Music Makers.
Wow.
And that was nice. Things started happening fast.
What was the first thing that you guys did in the studio?
Good Night, Baby.
Uh-huh.
Ooh, so long. Bow, 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 bow
Yes, guest time coming up in just a couple of minutes with Harmony Street. My thanks to, of course, Margaret Barsh. Big help tonight. It was a busy night in the doo-wop shop. And thank you to Harris and, of course, Lou Calabrese for sharing some of those rare records with us tonight here in the doo-wop shop. And, John, we thank you for dropping by, too. Also, Butch Barbella, music director of the motion picture of Bronx Tale and the man who wrote it. Chaz Palminteri, he not only wrote it, but stars in the motion picture. It was a pleasure to talk to them earlier this evening.
The Doo-Wop Shop! 101 WCBS
FM New York. Ram-a-lam-a-lam-a-lam-a-lam-a-ding-dong. Ram-a-lam-a-lam-a-lam-a-lam-a-ding.
God plays you up and you love him so. All these good goodies will never let them go. One thing is certain on CBS FM. Ring out, remember then. He's our favorite DJ. Ram-a-lam-a-lam-a-lam-a-lam-a-lam-a-lam-a-lam. His name is Don K. Reed. Ram-a-lam-a-lam-a-lam-a-lam-a-lam-a-lam.
CBS FM, those are my guests, and I like the lyrics to that song there. That's a little jingle you guys made.
Ram-a-lam-a, Don K. Reed.
Okay. I've never been called.
Isn't that how it goes?
Got a lot of good things coming up on the Harmony Street Show. This is Mike Miller. If you want to get in touch with me, it's harmonystreet@yahoo.com. Or go to my website, which is www.harmonystreet.biz.
Hi, this is Clarence Collins of Little Anthony and the Imperials, and you're listening to my good friend, Mike Miller, on the Harmony Street Show. I love you, Mike Miller.
Some great surprises coming up for you in the next couple of weeks. Johnny Mathis right from his home in California with me on the Harmony Street Show coming up very, very soon. A lot of good concerts coming up. Stay tuned, and thanks for listening. Be safe and be well. Bye now.
Open up your heart, recall how it used to be, remember all the love we found.
On Harmony Street, there was a place that we used to go when we were feeling down and we were low. Look into each other's eyes. Harmony Street. Yes, there were times when we had it all figured out. Then there were times when we both had our doubts. But through it all, you know, our love was complete. We spent all our time on Harmony Street. Couldn't believe our eyes when we were there. Wasn't it a big surprise to find we really cared? We looked into each other's eyes around the road that led us to Harmony Street. Yes, there were times when we had it all figured out. Then there were times when we both had our doubts. But through it all, you know, our love was complete. We spent all our time on Harmony Street.
Open up your heart, recall how we